This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Mind Muscle Project, welcome back. Mind Muscle Project, wow. The whole thing, I gave them to it today. Welcome back to the after show. First one in the new studio, very pumped. Connor's like officially in his producer position, which is cool. And we've got our sound foam back. I can tell already, it doesn't have as much as that echo.
Do you think I sound a bit deeper?
No, you still sound like a bitch, but we sound a lot smoother. So we're obviously on YouTube again as well, so you can check that out. But yeah, I reckon we're probably 50% set up, I would say. Yeah. I think it's like a good little temp set up for now, but I mean, our knees are going to clash and that's going to get annoying. But yeah, we'll have like a little desk that separates us. We'll have a different camera set up, probably get some studio lights. And maybe we're going to change up the mics. I do like the mic stands over the headsets, but those are decisions for another day. Today, I want to go over my problem with Fitness First. Okay. I don't like training at Fitness First. However, as an alternative to training at my own gym sometimes, it's a necessity. Sometimes it's like, you know, you don't always want to train where you work necessarily. So it's I prefer our gym 90% of the time, but every now and then it's nice to have Fitness First just to kind of roll in on a Sunday, you know, at 3 p.m. and
not be by
pump
yourself.
Some iron. Yeah, exactly. But it is actually, because I hadn't been in a commercial gym basically since the virus hit.
Mm.
Yeah. I forgot about
a few
things.
Like a lot of people in the country.
Yeah. I forgot about a few things. One, it's really dirty. That's for sure. As much as they like to clean it, it still is quite dirty. And the second thing is, you know, people still, it's a good reminder that people still have no idea what they're doing in the gym. So this guy rolls in and like, I want you to picture, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to picture a guy that's like a triathlete. So like a triathlete body. And in this guy's triathlete body is, you know, they're not out of shape. Like, they're lean, but they're not strong, right? So, he picks up the 44s off the rack, 44 kilo dumbbells. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy must be, like, way stronger than he looks. And so, he picks up the dumbbells.
Just put them on the ground, walk away, like most people?
Well, all right, let me finish this. Sorry, it's pretty much. So, he puts them on his knees to get ready for dumbbell bench. I'm staring at him going, like, this guy's just got strength, like, that you would never expect. And he rolls back, like, so you've got them on your legs and he rolls back onto the bench. And obviously they're in the starting position now and he goes to press them and he can't get them up. And so he dumps them, right? So on the legs, rolls back, dumps them. He's like, fuck. I'm like, all right, he's obviously going to put them away.
Yeah.
Get some lighter dumbbells. No. He picks up and he tries again. And I'm like, this guy won't give up. Like, does he realize he can go lighter and actually get the reps out? And what I realized was, no, he's counting this. He's counting this as his training. So he's getting up in between these sets and he's walking around like he just hit a set, like he's kind of touching his chest.
But he's not doing any reps.
No. He's like kind of touching his chest. He's like squeezing it. He's kind of flexing in the mirror, looking side to side.
Just four sets of zero.
And this guy's like maybe like, I don't know, 45 years old. And he basically, I reckon he did maybe like 12 reps of roll back, try to press it down. I don't know, maybe he was doing like tempo training only at the bottom. But dude, honestly, seriously, I don't know. Some people, they just don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
But I tell you what, it's kind of like the base level of people not knowing that they're doing that, you know, foundation of the pyramid is still there, but I reckon it's shrinking and there's definitely more of a tip of the pyramid that definitely know what they're doing now. There's some guys in there doing some pretty good training.
It's definitely improved. I think it's just like the way it's always been, but yeah, gyms where people aren't afraid to like walk up and help somebody if they're maybe like struggling with something, they do seem like more of the way of the future. Because it still is an environment in those gyms where if you walk up to someone, you're like, oh, you're like kind of doing this wrong. Like, or like, what are you doing today? It's kind of like a weird thing to do.
Oh, if you would do that in Fitness First.
It's still like, it's like frowned upon. It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't really fit in with the vibe of a general commercial gym.
Yeah.
But if you go to most boutique gyms now, if someone's like squatting and they're like struggling or whatever, like if you just walk up, like, oh, what are you sets of rep you doing? Like, oh, maybe you should try this. That's like totally normal.
Yeah.
If you're more of like a CrossFit style gym, right?
Yeah.
Or even like more of a community-oriented gym.
It's a social. It's like being on a rugby team.
Yeah, you've just like broken down the barrier. Like, oh, we're all trying to get better together. Whereas somehow commercial gyms still haven't broken through to that where you're like, you're all trying to get fit together.
Mm.
Like, you still are isolated.
Mm.
And if you walk up, it's like walking up to someone on the bus, like, oh, what are you reading? Mm. Just stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah, yeah. But if it's, maybe if it's the library or a bookshop or something, you know, it's a little bit more appropriate.
A bit different, right?
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't want to bring politics into this, but I just as a general note, I'm just glad the whole thing's kind of over and settled and it's not occupying everyone's time and stuff. And, you know, really, it's just like a big kind of like popularity contest. It's
talking about the Queensland election.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad that's over. But the rugby, I mean, all that shit we were talking on the Mindmask Project, they obviously heard us. And they're like, you know what? We need to like show up here and actually win. And the boys got a win under their belt. But it seemed like no one, at this point, no one really cared, right? Because they lost the cup.
Yeah,
right?
It was like winning the last one of four.
Right.
So, I think it's an Australian saying, dead rubber.
Right.
What was in there?
Dead rubber?
Dead rubber is like where it doesn't count anymore.
So
It's like, it's like a best of four series. It's like basketball.
It's like a friendly?
It's like, no. Because it's like, imagine, so you know, in the NBA, how they play a series of seven, they stop once there's a winner.
Yeah.
It would be if they kept playing.
Right.
So it's like,
that is a waste.
5-1.
Why would they do that?
Aussies like dead rubbers. you just have a series and you play out the series.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's I think soccer would be the same. With like a team's touring another place, play four games. You've won three, you still play the fourth game. Well, you've got three games to play. You play two, you still play.
Mm.
So I guess I think it's more of an English style of sport. But for anyone that watched the game, it did make me realize, there is something. We got this couple of new players, and like they don't look strong, and they were just like bumping people off. And there is something that is like so hard to train, which is just like that natural strength on a field, because they posted like a gym workout with these guys earlier in the week.
Which guys? The All Blacks?
No, the Wallabies. And they got some young players, and like the young players are not very strong, okay, right? Because they're young.
Early
20s. I don't think they've been lifting very long. Like strong compared to people that, go to the gym very regularly. But on the field, incredible like actual strength.
Yeah. Real athlete strength.
Unbelievable. And that is, I must say, it's like one of the hardest things to train. It's just so misleading for people when you see the weights they lift in the gym.
Well, you know what it's like, right? It's like the punch, like the people that hit really hard have like crazy knockout power, but they don't look like they have knockout power.
They can't bench very much, maybe.
Yeah, like they're just not very strong by normal standards, but for some reason, they can just knock people out cold.
And the variation in sports, people don't realize, is crazy, right? Because some of the guys on these rugby teams are naturally so strong.
Right.
Like benching 140, 150, literally like first few weeks in the gym, right? Mm. They have unbelievable natural strength. Other guys don't seem to at all. They seem to just suck at the gym. Doesn't really seem to make that much difference when they actually play.
Mm.
It's not really like the guys that destroy the gym are way better. It just, I don't know, it seems like almost the luck of the draw a bit.
Mm. Yeah, no, look, it's interesting. I think that, remember, there was a guy that rolled into Marrickville once. He like played high-level rugby.
Yeah.
He like basically didn't, his name is Henry, I think.
Yeah, I remember.
I think he joined for like 2 weeks. And on the bench press day, he did 150 kilos for like 5 reps.
Yeah. The best part about him is, this is early days CrossFit, and everyone's like, oh, you got to put goals on the wall. He's like, oh, yeah, cool, man. And he put up like, I would love to learn muscle up. I want to learn this. Anyway, like 10 days later, he ticked off every goal. 10 days later, he's like, I'd love to like body weight, like clean and jerk. He did everything.
Yeah, everything. Nah, he just like didn't know what a superhero he was.
Yeah.
But I mean, this guy benched, I think one of his goals was bench 170.
Yeah.
He benched 170. I'm like, do you know, like, did you already know you could do that? Or like, you just have no idea. Yeah, he had, and then he just disappeared. We never heard from him again.
Yeah.
I don't even think he paid. He probably didn't even pay.
We achieved his goals.
But you know what though, speaking of that crazy strength, obviously when I grew up in the North Shore is not known for producing like insane athletes, right? In Australia, but the East is. The East is known for producing some pretty crazy like rugby boys in Union, and they're all these private school boys, right? And like, I've never really paid attention to it, except when a bunch of these boys, they train at Fitness First, these private school boys, because they come in their school uniform. They train in their sports uniform, right? So at most, they could be 17, maybe 18. Dude, the size of some of these kids and the weights that they're lifting at 17, 18, they're basically as strong as I am. And they're in high school. Like, they don't look massive, but they look jacked for their age.
No, you can be very big. Like, there was a guy I used to play against, and he plays in Europe now. I have a good video still of him running over me at home. But when he was in year 12 sports high school, the scrum, which is like the eight guys, which is like the biggest eight guys on the field, they were only 6 kilos lighter than the Waratahs. So like
Holy
the New South Wales open level, eight guys. Like, admittedly, they were carrying a bit more fat, I would say, than some of these big boys. by 8 kilos difference. That's 8 kilos across 8 people.
That's nuts.
So that, you know, you generally weigh around 1,000 kilos because you're averaging like 120.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it like 17, 18 in year 12?
Yeah,
same weight.
Dude, I'm telling you, what the hell do they feed you guys out here? It's crazy. Some of these kids, I'm watching them doing like standing bicep curls, amazing form with like 20 kilos each hand. I'm like, these kids are strong.
Great. That wasn't me.
Nah. That wasn't me either.
I'm right now.
That was not me either. I was benching the 20 kilo dumbbells. And like you can still tell they're a high school kid. But like the strength that they have and the amount of muscle they have for their age is absurd. Absurd. I assume they're in high school. They had a school uniform.
Yeah, you get a good strength program and good genetics, but like so much testosterone running through your veins at that age and you can become...
Freak. Absolute freak. Like, But again, it's gym freakness. So like whether it translates, they might be slow on the field or whatever, but they're lifting serious weights for their age. Anyway, so I tried spike ball on the weekend. So I got in, I was hanging out with James Smith and some of the boys from that gym, and we were down at the park and we were playing. It's like, I don't know if you've seen it before. It's like really, it was like really popular with CrossFitters for a long time.
Yes. We played it at, I think we did it at Training Think Tank. I think like Max had one. It was like a yellow. It's like
play.
Okay, you throw a ball. There's a little net.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, we played it there.
I didn't play.
I don't know.
What was I doing?
Max Elhag, if you remember, he's like the Training Think Tank guy. He was like, I only have like 90 minutes of strength, and that includes my spike ball.
Dude.
Like he like specifically included it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, we played it on the beach. And I think a lot of the, I think it's American. It's more of an American thing, spike ball. But it's kind of like playing volleyball. But it's sick. It's so fun. Yeah, I reckon we need Spikeball as like a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, it was huge in CrossFit for a while. I really went crazy. It was like other CrossFit games and stuff.
Yeah.
And then people realized that it doesn't really help you CrossFit that much.
But it is a good warm-up. I do think any time you can do that sort of stuff, like two things. Well, Spikeball was new, and then I got on a skateboard again ages. Because the boys have skateboards at the house. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to like try and see if I can still kickflip and ollie and stuff. And how sore I was the next day from just skating and doing that. As you realize as you get older, you just stop doing so many things. So many things. Like skating's, I guess it's obviously dynamic and unknown, but your body should be able to skateboard. It's not that crazy of an athletic thing. And my knee was hurting. Like I almost pulled my groin in one of the exercises. I'm like, I need to do this stuff more often. Because imagine if you just got used to like just skating kind of every day. Like that's a good level of kind of dynamic movement and unknown movement
crazy
patterns
mobility.
And stuff. Yeah. And
when you jump high and like active range, right? Because when they ollie high, when you jump, you have to physically pull your knees to like your chin.
Yeah, yeah. And stability and stuff like that. I mean, they're not doing that. They're just kind of cruising. But I still think just generally, if you're getting on something like a skateboard every day and it's pretty normal for you, it will like keep your body like in better condition, you know, because you're kind of doing these like stability, like movement patterns and stuff that you don't get from just walking and going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I rate it.
The same thing that those, like, all these... You know, there's, like, all the electric ways of getting around now? The ones where you just, like, stand on the wheel and go?
Oh, yeah, the
like,
one...
Like, surely that's going to devastate people's disability.
Oh, yeah.
If you just now have removed walking from your life as well.
Yeah, well, I do think there's an element of... With those electric skateboards, electric scooters...
Well, it's electric bikes. Skateboard you're balancing, though. Yeah. I feel like the ones where you just stand and it's
the
just,
wheel.
Yeah, and the wheel.
I think that, I actually think that wheel is quite hard. I do think it actually is quite difficult. I think it just looks really easy when people are good at it. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that because obviously skateboard is manual, so it requires a lot of effort and physical effort. And yeah, if you take the electric side, it's like kind of like your bike, right? You're getting the stability and stuff, but you lose all the effort that goes into riding. But I agree with your point, right? Because one of our new coaches, he bought a bike, non-electric.
Yes.
I haven't seen a non-electric bike in Sydney in a long time. Yeah. It came to the gym covered in sweat.
That's it. It's not a thing.
Covered in sweat. It's like, I was like, dude, you need a new shirt. He's like, oh, I don't have a replacement. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to get you a new shirt right now. You are saturated.
Yeah.
That's why you change, right? Because you
it's, we're getting, it's not a thing. You can't do it.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Absolutely impossible. All right. So what do you think about this? So I'm in the... I'm doing some. Well, I was participating in some girl activities on Sunday. Eva's going out. She's buying some makeup. And it just made me think, like, because obviously there's one thing that really gives me the shits, and I was talking about this with some other girls, is girls that wear a full face of makeup to the gym. Like, okay, what the fuck do you think you're supposed to be doing at the gym? It's not a beauty pageant. It's not a pickup spot. Like, we're here to work out. And it has become a... It's almost like a plague that has infected gyms worldwide, is especially in the East, right? Girls that are wearing full face of makeup to the gym. How do you feel about this phenomenon, because obviously you see it.
Yeah.
They come in full done up, everything. They're here to like work out. And like, they still kind of train, but I don't know, like, it's, I feel like it's sad in many ways. Like, I feel sad watching. I'm like, why have we gotten to this point that you as a woman feel like you need to wear makeup to go to the gym?
Well, overall, the fashion has changed dramatically. Like, I still remember when you'd go to the gym 10, 12 years ago and you would exclusively wear like old camp, like t-shirts and shit. Like,
yeah.
They gave
like,
you for free,
ugly
right?
Ugly shit.
And like, girls would wear slightly better stuff,
mm.
but still was not like, it was still like their worst clothes.
Yeah, I think.
You know, it's like, it's what you used to call it. Oh, you like, oh, should make it a rag? Nah, don't make it a rag. Make it gym clothes. Like,
right.
That fucking has reversed.
Oh man,
that has reversed like crazy.
Wear's taken off like crazy.
So the quality of good clothes is still good, right? But there's like another level now where it's like a lot of thought is going into the outfit, like you would put
a lot of coordination,
like you're going out. And then when you go from that level and like the full makeup, I just feel like it's making the whole thing too hard. Surely, if that's the expectation,
I know.
Just to get to the gym,
yeah. Yeah, I'm like, you just should. I mean, I was talking about this on Saturday night with a friend, and she was like, look, when I go to the gym and I work out, I look like a sweaty boy.
Mm.
Like, I just pull my hair back, I get in there in some, you know, active wear, and I just work out in some
comfortable
clothes.
It can't be the expectation.
No, I think it's, I really don't like it. Mm. Like, I think it's unnecessary. The gym, we shouldn't be judging each other. The only thing I want to judge you on is how much effort are you putting into your workouts, right? If you're here to just fuck around and not put any effort in, don't be here, right? Go for a walk or something. Mm. But we shouldn't be judging people on how they look in the gym. And I mean, not how they look physically, but what they're wearing. Mm. It seems ridiculous. Oh, bro. You don't have like the latest this, the latest that, or you don't have a matching outfit, or you don't have your hair done and stuff. It's like, come on. It's like guys in the gym. I see him. They spend fucking this. I watch this guy in the change room do his hair, and I was like, oh, he's done. He's obviously done his workout, and he's, you know, showering. He's doing his hair to go to work. He's doing his hair to work out.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, bro. What are we doing here?
Well, I do think it's something that is built from the commercial gym.
Yeah.
It's something about...
it's not really a CrossFit gym thing.
Yeah. It's something about being in a situation. It's like really unnatural where there's heaps of people around you. No one's speaking to you, but lots of people are watching you. There's like heaps of just observation at
those
gyms.
Especially with the work rest.
Yeah.
Period.
There's obviously phones have solved the problem a bit because people observe other people on social media. But if they dare look up from the phone, then they just observe other people training.
Yeah.
And it is like an unnatural, so many other places you are where you're just in the middle of lots of people and people are kind of just observing you.
And trying not to talk to each other.
Yeah, because if you're on the street, everyone's like moving. They're on the move.
Right? Yeah, everyone's
they're going places. Yeah, where it's kind of weird. You're like, you're all stuck in this room, 100 of you. And most of the time, you're sitting there just looking at each other. And then someone looks back at you, you look straight away to the other way.
And it's so, I always find it so weird when you sit to the side of the dumbbell area and you just watch everyone doing their sets in the dumbbell because everyone's staring at themselves in the mirror, right? And you think about it, if aliens were looking down on us, they would be like, these humans are very weird. They stare into this reflective material and they grab these little black handles and all they do is just flex with these little black handles in front of the mirror and they rest, right? Because basically everyone just does curls and triceps, right, in front of the mirror. It is a very strange environment. It is a very strange environment. But you watch people do stuff like at our gym and it makes sense. Like, okay, we're moving our whole body. Mm. We're being athletic. We're not just flexing on the spot. And of course we do, you know, chest and biceps and all that sort of stuff. But overall, we're getting some... It really looks like a workout. You observe the dumbbell area of fitness. It doesn't look like much of a workout. Mm. Like, a lot of people do a lot of weird stuff in there that doesn't really count as a workout.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the direction it's going, but I could see that type of gym potentially becoming more of the minority of the type of working out.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I you know, I put out a video during the pandemic or during the initial lockdown and I was on my Instagram TV and I was just kind of saying, I think commercial fitness gyms are going
to
die.
Well, the main reason people become intimidated to go to the gym is they're self-conscious, right?
Yeah.
Like, why do most overweight people not go? Partly, whatever, they're lazy is the reason, but I think a huge part of it is self-conscious.
Intimidating.
It is fucking, like, whenever I see someone very overweight coming into a commercial gym, I'm like...
Especially in the East.
Yes.
Especially
I'm
in the
like,
East.
This is unbelievable. This must be the scariest place on the planet because it's like being poor and walking into like a rich person in society.
Right.
Because everyone in there has got their health and fitness crazy sorted and they're in there just like almost showing off how fit they are at this time.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, just squatting 180. Like, what are you doing? Oh, just getting my 9th ab to get some definition. And then there's someone in there that is so far away on the journey... Struggling, drenched in sweat, you know, it doesn't look like, not wearing the clothes everybody else is wearing and
stuff.
Yeah. It's got to be the scariest place to walk into, which is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because they're the people that you actually who actually need to go to the gym.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's got to be the scariest place.
That's why we made the gym for people like you.
and then you just have a gym where everyone's observing others. It just, I feel like it amplifies the problems of being self-conscious in the gym.
Oh, it's not the environment you want to step into. Mm. And the problem is as well is that those gyms have now, because they're the most popular gyms and have been for a long time, they set the price point. And so most people, yeah, when they want to come to someone like us and they hear our price point, they go, I don't want to pay that much. Mm. I can go pay $20 at Fitness First. I'm like, yeah, but you're never going to go to Fitness First. You hate Fitness First. But for some reason, there's this paradigm that we have to kind of break for them, that $20 for a gym membership is not, it's really only for the place where people really know what they're doing and they want that environment. Mm. That's really what it's built for. But everyone kind of uses it as a starting point. As a result, it just makes it really hard for people. We should be the starting point. If anything, that should be like the advanced gym. You know, it's like, hey, no supervision, heaps of different equipment and exercises that you've got to know what to do.
It's like the black run on a ski field.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like you better know what you're doing. Because there's jumps and like moguls and shit and it's all downhill and no one's coaching you.
And everyone there is really good and knows what they're doing and no one's going to help you and no one's going to speak to you.
If you're doing badly, someone will just laugh at you. They're just going to laugh.
Someone will film you.
Film you for more mockery so other people will laugh.
You'll end up on some gym memes like... horrible form page. Yeah, no, it's if you go there and you sit on a machine or try and do an exercise that you don't know what you're doing, it is scary. You're like, oh my god, if I do this wrong, like, I'm gonna be humiliated.
I'm gonna be on social media.
Yeah. So anyway, part of the reason I bring it up is I do kind of feel bad a little bit for trainers as well. It's like it's a hard environment to train clients in because everyone's listening to your conversations as well. So like you're trying to have a good conversation with your client. And everyone's listening in. There's only so much stuff you're going to talk about if you don't want everyone to listen in on that. So that does make it difficult as well. I will give them that. So yeah, if any trainers are interested, hit us up. Okay, so before we get into the first listener questions, we have been extremely, extremely diligent with checking our clients on Whoop. Now, I almost think that coaching has now become check your Whoop score. Message your client, see if you'll see them in the gym. Because silly season is really picking up now. Connor's got the Whoop. Because silly season is picking up now, I swear to God, some people, they can't get into the yellow.
More variations in the Whoop
score. Oh my God.
We had a session on Sunday morning and there was six of us. And obviously, if you're on Whoop, you get a score of 0 to 100. And I worked out that we were only at 50 all put together.
Oh my God.
It was like a 4, why 10, were you so written 13.
Off? What are you doing?
How the rugby was late.
Ah, okay.
And I couldn't sleep after it.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't finish till nearly 12.
Because you were G'd up.
Yeah. We won.
Yeah, so no, I really think if you want to put it this way, there are people who have gone and spent $500-$600 on a Garmin watch, and the Whoop community aspect, like getting on a leaderboard with all your mates and competing on strain, competing on sleep, competing on recovery, and having a laugh about who's gotten the least amount of sleep and who had the biggest bender on the weekend and who's the most written off now, it makes people retire their $600 Garmin just to join the community on Whoop.
It's like it's kind of like WhatsApp now because there's like heaps of different groups. You know, you can be in 9 different groups.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And Whoop, if you do like fancy things like me, Whoop has released the Lux Kit. So that's L-U-X-E or L-U-X. And basically, they released a line of Whoop bands that have 18 karat gold in them. They are sick. Obviously, you wouldn't train in those. You would use it for when you're going out. I'd say it's very appropriate. You probably, if you're a person that goes out quite a lot to nice dinners and stuff, you like to dress up. It is annoying to have a Whoop band that's like a sport band, right? So like you want to dress it up a little bit. And so they have released it. I think they're going for about $150 a band, which is pretty good. It's got real gold in it. So you can definitely check that out. Anyway, all that stuff is at whoop.com. Our code is mindmuscle. So that's one word, mindmuscle. And that gets you 15% off your Whoop membership. And that works out to like $20-something a month.
Mm.
It's cheap.
And join our Whoop community.
Yes.
It's just on Instagram and you can join. We have like well over 100 people and you can see everyone's strain. 120
people on it.
Yeah. Now. Everyone's sleep, all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Definitely go check it out. All right. First listener question.
We got some good questions
in
this
the
week.
New studio. So wow, we're christening it with some good questions.
Yeah. Okay. First one, Max Creevy. Hey guys, big fan of your work. I want to know how to or best ways to fast. So not eating, fast as a professional athlete.
That's a good question. I find this interesting. I think I looked at his profile. He's a soccer player.
Mm.
So you think that there would be like sports dietitians and stuff like that on the team at a professional level, but not every team's like that. And also, there is always an element of some players or athletes.
Heaps of players go rogue.
Yeah, they just want to do their own thing, right? They read something, they want to do their own thing. First reason is I would be questioning why you want to fast. I think that's probably the first thing. What did you read about it? What was the source? What did they claim about fasting? If you're, I don't know, say Muslim and you've got Ramadan, then it's obviously a part of your religion. I'm sure there's tons of teams and players around the world. I'm pretty sure like the, I can't remember his name, I think Mo Salah or something, the best player for Liverpool, he's a striker. He's Muslim, he's Egyptian. And he's like one of the best players in the world. So obviously you can fast and still be really good.
They perform, like they play sports during that. And that's basically fast. So you can eat.
Only at night.
Only at sundown. Yeah. So it kind of depends where you are in the world, how savage that is.
Mm.
When they come to Australia to play cricket, it's very challenging because we have very long days.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's not a lot of eating. But yeah, they basically continue to play their sports, only eating in the evenings.
Yeah. So look, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. I would just argue that it's not optimal because fasting is obviously, it puts your body in a state where it's pulling from its own energy sources, from its reserves, right? Which is good. You want to do that. You don't want to constantly be requiring food as the energy to power your body. You want to use up some of the stores, some of the glycogen, some of the body fat, all that sort of stuff, right? Mobilize the sugars and the fatty acids in your body. But as a professional athlete, your performance is paramount, right? It pays the bills, puts the food on the table for your family. And so I think the only time I would consider fasting is if you have maybe a 2 or 3 day window where you're not training. But as a professional athlete, you train pretty much every day, right? So I just don't see room for fasting in there. Maybe in the off season when you're not playing, there's some room for some fasting just to...
Maybe on a Sunday, like your one day off a week.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you probably should enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but if anything, you want to be in a calorie surplus most of the time because you want to be you want maximum recovery, right? You're training your ass off. You are, you're putting 100% into every training session, every game. You want the best out of your body. You get injuries and stuff that you want to heal from. You need calories for that. You need energy. You need proteins. You need fats. And so I would be getting in that constantly. So for me, fasting doesn't feel like it's optimal. Obviously, if it's for religious reasons, it's different. But yeah, in terms of the health benefits that you would get from fasting, I don't think they're outweighed in this context to being a professional athlete.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other thing I like about not fasting, having done both, is that food can be a really good way to get yourself more into like a recovery state. So say you've like trained and you've like gone and you know your heart rate's a little bit higher and you're more in like a go state. When you like sit down, you like drink some water and you eat, it's like a really powerful way to go, hey, I'm in like the rest digest mode right now. And you can like feel your body relax and you chill out and you eat. Sometimes I found that if I'm like, say I'm fasting and I'm not eating for a long period, it's easy to like not go in that sort of relaxation mode. You like work out, you're like, okay, well, I'm not eating, so you just go, maybe you have like some more coffee or whatever, and you keep moving, and you never have that like, tell your body to wind down and shift to recovery. And then you notice it catches up with you. And then like might be later in the afternoon, you do start eating, you're like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Man, I totally agree. I think what I've noticed with, like a day that you don't get time to kind of stop you, it's like, all right, got to work out and they've got this meeting and then I've got to go to this thing and then we've got to move this thing here and you don't get time for a shake. You feel like you're training nonstop the whole time.
And your recovery, I found my recovery has been worse on WOOP the next day.
Yeah. So it is interesting. So yeah, I would just be very careful with, not fasting for too long.
Yeah, fasting is one of those things that came around and it is good and it's like, I'm sure that these health benefits are going to come out about it, but it's just been mostly for like getting in shape, which is not really, I think, the purpose of it originally.
Yeah.
Like there's lots of health benefits that they're looking into for fasting, but most people are asking about is to get in shape, which is not really necessary.
No.
We already knew how to get in shape before it came around.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Okay, JL Moves, new part-time coach at a CrossFit gym. It's quite a long message, but they want to encourage better movement standards without stepping on anyone's toes. And they give the example of muscle-ups.
Yeah.
The head coach at the gym and most of the membership can do muscle-ups, but they do it with a chicken wing, which if people don't know, it's like one arm goes through, and then the next arm goes. It's like a very poor form. Very poor form muscle-up.
The worst form muscle-up. Yeah.
And he was coached with a background that puts his shoulder in a compromising position over and over again, and that can lead to injuries. He mentioned to everyone he wants drills to encourage an even transition, so a better transition to a couple of members, but this involves going back a couple of steps and then going forwards.
I get the point. He wants to teach movements correctly, and they're being taught incorrectly here at this gym.
Yeah, and I think his problem is that, which is very common, which is like you have to go backwards for a while.
Yeah.
Like you have to probably go to a point where you can't do the exercise anymore.
Yeah. Look, this is a tough question because ultimately it comes down to the person writing the program, because you can't make any changes if the program has muscle-ups. Unless you're programming muscle-up transition work and skill practice work, no one's going to do it. And so ultimately, it does come down to the program. And now I get it. I get it. As a gym owner, you know, you might not want to spend all this time. Firstly, you need more coaching expertise if you want to teach muscle-up drills versus just riding muscle-ups up there. And maybe that's not... Like, I see this from the gym owner's perspective as well. I see it as like, hey, this is not what we do, man. I was just like, write the muscle-ups if you can do them. If you can't, good, that's fine. You know, we charge $50 a week. That's just like what it is. But when you offer a different service and you make a different promise, then you have to deliver something different. So I can't speak for what this person has or what this gym has promised to their clients and what they, you know, want to deliver. But I think those things ultimately have to line up. And you as the coach, you just kind of plug into that machine. And if you're at odds with the culture of that gym, the programming of that gym, the direction and the service that's promised to the clients, you need to find a new gym. Or you have a serious sit down with the owner and all the other coaches and you make some really big changes. My experience has just shown me in the past, that's a lot harder to do, to sit down and change everything within the team. Most people are pretty set in their ways, but I could be wrong. It's still worth the conversation. In fact, I'll probably start with that conversation and that'll give you an idea what path you want to go down. Either they're willing to work and be like, you know what, you're right, we've been a bit lazy with the program. Let's write some progressions. What do you have in mind? How would you like to progress some of these things? And let's talk about how we're going to communicate this to the clients to kind of walk it back and step it back and say, hey, if we do chicken wing muscle-ups, we're going to end up in surgeries pretty soon. Mm. So I would start there. But yet, if the end result is clients doing chicken wing muscle-ups, that is something that needs to change straight away. I think regardless, that's, I mean, do the best you can to stop people doing that. Give them a sub. But yeah, if nothing changes, it might be time for a new gym.
Yeah. And I've noticed that normally when gyms want to, you know, do a better job and just maybe cut down the amount of injuries they're getting and move to a safer program, getting rid of the rings in that type of scenario is like close to the first step.
Yeah.
It's because they are so like unstable. They are very challenging exercises. I've seen so many injuries involved with the rings in some way. Also, I think there's a lot of ways you can cheat on rings, you know, compared to other implements that... I find for most people, man, unless you're like really good and you're really strong on there and you've done all the progressions, steering clear of the rings in general is a pretty good idea.
Yeah. The rings is a very advanced training tool, which somehow we've decided is a very common training tool, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very unstable.
It's very unstable. It's very challenging. It is, you know, once you're good at them, one of the best training tools.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing.
One set of rings, you can do like phenomenal amount, right? And you can be in such good shape. But that is not most people.
No. Definitely not.
But unless you have really good strength to body weight ratio, like it's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Guru of Gains wants to start personal training, small group training out of his own garage. So he wants to train teen athletes and businessmen who have lost their way through the obsession on business and career and now want to get more in shape. But he doesn't want to focus on people that just want to lose weight. Is it possible to find these clients that don't want to just lose weight the whole time?
So what are these? Explain what the clients you think the clients are doing then.
He wants clients that are like athletes or businessmen and want to like get back in shape now, but focus on performance. Like choose something to perform good at, not just be like I'm here to lose 10 kilos. I'm here to lose.
For sure, those clients are out there. I think what you kind of realize over time, we've worked with thousands of clients through the gyms, and we've sat down with, you know, between the two of us, over 1,000 consults with clients, just kind of asking, okay, what are your goals? Like, what do you want to do? Is a lot of the time, weight loss is definitely a part of it, but you can get there through performance. Like, you can say, it's like not everyone walks in and goes, I want to squat double body weight, right? But you might say to them, hey, weight loss is your goal. If we can squat double body weight, along the way to that, we will get in awesome shape. We will gain muscle. We will change our body composition and you will look awesome. You'll probably lose that 10 kilos. And you'll squat double body weight. So you can still have both. I think that sometimes people just don't know. Like they kind of know one thing that they want, but you can also kind of give them another thing. They might not be thinking, I want better energy throughout the day. Maybe they're not aware of that part yet. And you just say, hey, look, we're going to drink water in the morning and then we're going to eat these foods throughout the day. And as a result, you're going to get better energy. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I don't really want better energy. I just want to lose 10 kilos. You go, oh, you'll lose 10 kilos as well. You know, so not always what comes out of the client's mouth is the whole story. So you can, along the way, kind of improve their performance goals. And I think that, you know, wanting to, like the first part of the question, wanting to start that leap of faith and start something out of your garage, I think that's a very, very low risk way to start some kind of like, I guess, gym. I think it's a great place to start. Train people out of your garage. Obviously, no rent. You know, you don't have to do any council stuff. It's just a bit of equipment. I think it's an awesome place to kind of cut your teeth.
Yeah, it's a really good place to start. I think the thing about fat is like nearly everybody has got a little bit of fat to lose, right? That's just like the nature of it. So like when you get people, no matter what, you're like, hey, you want to lose some fat? Everyone's like, yeah, you have to lose some, right? Yeah. Just the society we live in.
Yeah.
You can always be in like slightly lower body fat level. But I actually think there are probably more people that don't fall into the, hey, I just have to lose fat category, which is like people that, you know, maybe have like 15 kilos or more of fat to lose. There are tons of those people, but most of them are not spending money on their fitness. That's why they're overweight.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of people that are like reasonably pretty good with their fitness, and that's why they are, and they want to continue on that process.
Yeah.
It would be like, you know, like a financial manager, right? There's tons of people that just are appalling with their finances.
Yeah.
99% of them never walk into the financial manager
to
get a handle. But most people that walk in are doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
That's why they want help with their finances, because they're like switched on, they already know about it, and they want to keep taking it out to the next level. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is like that with fitness. You know, you look at most people getting personal training, they're not, there's definitely some that really need help. A lot of them are like in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Way better than average. That's because they have a trainer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they want to continue along that path. So there's tons of people that maybe they only thought weight loss could be the goal, but yeah, they're already in pretty good shape. You know, they can perform, they can do sports, they can sign up for challenges.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting question. But I reckon, you know, if you're sitting on the fence, definitely, I think it's easy to train clients out of your garage. There's no way you can't put aside a 3 or 4 hour slot in your week and get people, you know, on it.
No, and that, I do think as well, that market is going to continue to grow.
Definitely.
Because now I think the upper limit of where you can go with your fitness, people have seen like, hey, it's really high. Like, there's more to it than just losing weight.
That's
a starting point now. There's like all these things you can sign up to and, new types of fitness you can get involved in. And that has become bigger for sure in the last 10 years.
For sure. For sure. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Is that the end of our list of questions? Ooh, good questions. And then if you guys want to ask questions, the best way to do it, I mean, you can always DM us on Instagram, but... Connor puts up a Instagram tile through the week, and you can just drop your comments and your questions in there. So it'll come up, it'll just pop up, and it'll say like, "Hey, ask us your training or nutrition questions." So that's where you can pop them into. So make sure to check them out there as well.
We've had a few questions come in. I know we said there was a 1 month deadline on it, but for Activated Nutrients, the 40% discount that was a one off
for Power Up
is still going.
Okay,
it's going to go till the end of November. So that is 40% off. Use the code MMP. That is the Power Up products, like the energizing. It's like still obviously all whole foods and vitamins. So it's not synthetic. It's like real vegetables ground into a powder, but it's the energizing powder. That one is still 40% off. But if you use the same code MMP, you can get the one we always talk about, which is the top up, which is the greens powder we have every day. It's just like, it's just the best quality real greens powder you can get.
Yep.
That one is still 20% off, still the same code.
Yeah. And I fucking love it. Seriously, I put it in everything. Sorry, I put in every... 1 liter water that I have in the morning every day. It's always in there. It's the best way to start your day. So convenient.
Yes.
So convenient. Always got to keep your minerals, vitamins topped up. There's no better way to do it.
Anyway. Activate Nutrients and Amazon in the States.
Yeah. ActivateNutrients.com, Power Up, Top Up, and then the code is MMP.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So I watched a series. Raf, why didn't you explain to the folks at home why you have such difficulty being a normal human?
There'll be someone else out there that listens to this and is like, dude, you're speaking my language here. But yeah, I pretty much just almost will never watch a series.
No, okay, so hold on. You can't just say that. What do you mean never watch a series?
If I just look and it's like 4 or 5 hours, unless it's like some documentary that I'm like very keen to watch, say like the Michael Jordan documentary, something like that, I just don't set the time.
So the limited series that Netflix puts out, so a limited series is basically one season, 5-6 hours it seems like. Your only time you'll watch that is if it's like a documentary.
A really good documentary. I've heard about it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go for this.
But I told you this. Firstly, it has to be a documentary. So if it's like because this was a show. This is not, like this was drama.
Yes.
This is not a documentary. No drama you'll watch.
I can't remember the last time I watched one.
Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? What do you think's wrong with you? Do you think you're just like missing your DNA?
I used to watch Entourage, like maybe like 10, 12 years ago?
No, longer than that, dude. You would have watched Entourage during school.
Yeah, maybe the end of high school. So maybe like, about 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
So it's not that I never will, but I guess it's just been 10 years.
Do you find them boring? Or is it that you like would rather be learning something?
Yeah, I honestly just find it like pretty boring. I just look at it and I'm like 10 hours or whatever it is, 8 hours. I'm like, nah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so what would you like, do
like, and it's not that my time is always so productive or anything. Like, I can like waste time doing something else, but I find like real life stuff more interesting.
So, yeah. So, part of it is you just don't enjoy it that much as well.
Yeah, I guess I just don't enjoy it. I have a genuine trouble with like fiction.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, there you go. That's that. We got to the root of it. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have a trouble with fiction. So, this series has probably popped up for everyone at this point. The Queen's Gambit. So, The Queen's Gambit is... it's actually based off a book.
It was number one on trending.
Dude, it's all over it. So good. Yeah. It's so good. So, it's based off a book. It's this girl that she grows up an orphan. She's an orphan at age, I don't know, 10 or 11, maybe a bit younger. Anyway, she's like becomes like obsessed with chess. She becomes like this chess prodigy. She learns it in the orphanage. Anyway, the whole thing is about her becoming like this world elite grand chess master. Now, it kind of sounds, I know as I'm saying it, it kind of sounds boring, but it's set in the 1970s or 60s, I believe. So it's kind of got that cool, they got the, you know, the different lens tin and the different coloring and like the different filters and stuff. So it's kind of that cool kind of vintage vibe to it, but they've also got the amazing costumes and they've got the old settings and the old hotels and stuff. And it's cool because in one of the episodes, they do it in Russia. So they recreate what it's like to be in Russia in the 60s and 70s, which is cool. That doesn't often happen in movies, right? It's normally mostly based in like America and Europe. And so they go to all these different chess tournaments, and in this one episode, they recreate Russia in the 60s, and they do such a good job with it. Such a good job. Whoever directed and created this film, the people that were involved, the creative directors, did such a good job with this. They captured so many elements of the 60s that are just so subtle, but they're just done so well. You know, to the type of alcohol that they drink, to the cars they drive, to the amount people smoke, all these different, you know, the universities, how people dress. They just did it so, so well. And for such a subject matter like chess that I really have essentially no interest in.
You didn't play chess?
I played a little bit. Like, I know how to play, but like, I didn't learn any of the moves and shit. Yeah. The only one I learned was, the one where you can like three moves, you can checkmate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that one is. Yeah. But no one
falls for that.
If someone actually can play chess, like you would destroy me. Yeah. Right? I have no idea how to play chess. Man, I said to anyone that I spoke to this year, I watched a lot of series. Obviously we had a lot more time indoors. Of the series, definitely of all the new series that came out this year and some of the other series I watched, like Vikings, this one was the only one that I said, I want to watch the next episode. Every other series, I'm like, I can go to bed now.
Every other episode, you're like, I can turn it off. But the red button thing's ready now. Press that.
Oh, it's already started. So, this is the only one that I think about it during the day and I'm like, I can't wait to get home and watch the next episode. So, that is how much I enjoyed this series. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
Fuck
no. Yeah, it's that fucking good. Honestly, I'll watch it again.
Did Netflix make it?
Yeah, Netflix made it. It is so good. It is so good. I will watch it again, 100%. The actor, the girl, she just did such a good job as well. Such a good job. So yeah, absolutely loved it. And I think anyone else that's watched it, that no one would rate it less than a 4. No, seriously, no one would rate it less than a 4. I think I'm like slightly in love with the girl actor, so that's maybe what's got to do with it, but like, it's so good.
Mm.
Yeah, it's awesome. But I tell you,
So everyone knows that having really good-looking women in that's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. No, but she's not like classically beautiful. She's like alternative beauty. Like yeah, 1960s. So it's like So it's kind of a bit strange, but it's done really well. And I think just good acting is just always icing on the cake to a great movie as well, right?
Yeah, you know what made me think as well? I was looking at Netflix on the weekend, and one of the reasons I think I like Netflix so much more than a lot of the other platforms, like
Prime and stuff.
The other thing is just like, because they make such good quality stuff themselves. Well, say you compared them, say, to YouTube. I like YouTube. And YouTube now has got into making some stuff
YouTube itself, originals, yeah.
Which are all right. But it's taken them so long and doesn't seem to be as good as Netflix.
No.
Like, Netflix is making way better stuff. And, you know, they have like 10% as many viewers as YouTube does.
Yeah.
And if you compare it to the other channels, like, it's not like Instagram comes out with the best Instagram posts.
No, well, it's all user-generated content. Netflix doesn't have user-generated content.
No, but they have other people's stuff on. It used to mostly be other people's stuff.
Yeah, I think what happened was Netflix, I remember listening to a podcast on it. I think it was the Empire Builder podcast or something like that.
With the owner of it or something?
Yeah, or a journalist that followed the Netflix story or something. But basically what they were saying is they realized that if they were ever going to compete with like HBO and stuff, because HBO are like their biggest competitors, yeah. HBO always created original content, and Netflix, it was costing Netflix so much money to buy other people's content and put it on their channel. They realized that as soon as those licenses or those other series start popping up on other channels, people won't have a reason to come to Netflix. Mm. And so they needed people to be at Netflix for another reason besides just watching other people's content. Because if like Friends got released on Prime and Friends got released on Netflix which I don't think that is the case. I think there is some still exclusivity, but they predicted if this could happen, if you could watch it anywhere, people will stop. They'll start leaving Netflix. Or maybe the movie they want is not on Netflix. It's on Prime. So they'll go to Prime and they'll go off Netflix. But what's the reason to stay on Netflix is the originals. That's what they realized. And so they started investing earlier than other companies in their own studio. Because Netflix has their own studios, right? They're on like Hollywood studios and stuff.
They make like movies.
Yeah. So they I think they realized that earlier and they just got ahead of the game and they started bringing the originals out. And now the originals are awesome, right?
Mate, it's like the best stuff on there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they get all the best actors, right? They get some of the biggest Hollywood actors now because these people could be... There's so much time in between movies sometimes and maybe you're not the right role for it. So they're like, cool, do a series with us. Do like a, you know, seven
And they get tons of views, I'm sure.
And money, right? Actors need to get paid, right? They need a job and shit, so... Now it's better for the acting industry. There's more opportunities available.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sick. Anyway.
And if you want something for next week, have you seen the one on the Egyptian tombs?
I started watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can review that next week. I started that as well.
Finished the first episode. Yeah. So this is how we differ a lot.
Yeah.
This is how we differ a lot right now. So anyway. So last thing we'll leave you guys with is obviously one thing that's been extremely popular at this point in time is True Coach. If you didn't listen to our interview with Casey Jenks, the founder of True Coach, that is a sick story. He goes from CrossFit gym owner to basically start up, you know, app development or web hub development for programming. It's a sick story. You guys hear us talk about True Coach all the time. I actually didn't even know the background story behind it.
I had no idea that like he owned a gym and stuff.
Yeah. And I think what the coolest thing about any brand is hearing the story, how the story started. It's why we got the Whoop guy on. It's why we got Anthony Katz on, the founder of Hyperice, all our sponsors, because it's always such a cool story of how they made it. So definitely go check out the True Coach story. That is in, it was probably a couple of weeks ago we posted it on, I think we posted it on In the Black. So Casey Jenks, founder of True Coach, about 2 weeks ago we posted that. Definitely go check that out. It's definitely one of the best episodes we've done for In the Black for a while, so pretty awesome stuff. All right, guys, like I said at the start, YouTube, you're watching us right now. If you want to get, obviously, any of the Mind Muscle Project training programs coming into the new year, we're going to have a sick Black Friday sale as well for all the programs. It's going to be mad discounts, so obviously just follow us on Instagram. Keep in touch with it there. On the website, if you go to the bottom, you can always sign up to the newsletter. Or you can just see our programs, just stay in the loop with everything, mindmuscleproject.com/programs. All the programs will be there. And we're on YouTube. So much stuff to remember. So much stuff to fear. Pick your favorite platform and just stick to it and pay attention. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.